We're going to talk a little bit about Hebrew grammar tonight, just a little bit. I'm not going to bore you plumb to death, but I got my two top students here tonight. Anyway, Brother Roger, you want to come up and lead us in prayer?
Sure.
Think of Stephen tonight. Stephen's supposed to go forward and, for baptism tonight.
Yeah.
And, huh? Yeah. You did want to get baptized. That's the only way you can do it. All right. Pray for him that he'll be brave, be a warrior.
Father, thank you for bringing us all here tonight. And please guide us and direct us as we receive your word so that we understand it and so that we take it into our heart and we take it into our lives and we apply it as we leave here. You know everything about us, all our wants and our needs, our problems and our desires. Please look on those and guide us and direct us on all things. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. One thing, you know, kalstem is basically the active voice. And Greek verbs or tenses are more moods and modes than they are really tenses in all reality. The kalstem in all the old Hebrew grammars is kalstem. You'll hear me say it calls that a call, call. All of it, the modern grammars are Q-A-L. The old grammars, the old biblical grammar, biblical Hebrew grammars, it'll have a K instead of a Q on the front of it. So when you read the old grammars, Davidson, Driver, all of that, they're going to have the call stem as the cow stem. I brought two Hebrew books with me tonight. Now, Brother Abe and Brother Roger, you're my great, my top-notch Hebrew student. Cindy's not here, so we can't put her in the thing. And Julie would be. Remember, pray for Julie also. She's doing all right. She just has a lot of homework. The Hebrew tenses are different than the Greek or any of the other classical languages. Okay? They're different. I brought two Hebrew grammars with me tonight. And by the way, the Davidson Analytical Hebrew Grammar, Analytical Hebrew, Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon, the first 90 pages of that is grammar. Did you know that? Did you get that yet, brother?
No.
The first 90 pages in Davidson's Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon is basically grammar. First 90 pages, and this is it here. It's red and black today, a little bit smaller, but the page numbers are the same. But the first 90 pages up to here is grammar, all of that. And you will only see, you will not see Paul as, it's going to be cow stem, okay? Now, there are, in the first two verses in the Hebrew Bible, Genesis 1 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 2, there are two verbs, the first two verbs in the Hebrew Bible are in what tense? The first two verbs in the Hebrew Bible. Do you have that? Would you, brother?
No.
Would you come up here and look at this? I have the Hebrew Bible with me.
Oh.
Okay. Just kind of saunter right up here. Can you read those two verses for me? Can you do that?
Barashit bara Elohim et hashamayim v'haaretz. Hayetha. Tahu.
Tahu. Vahoshek. Amayim. All right. Now, Barashith Bara, what is that verb there? Bara. What is that verb or verb? Tell me, conjugate it for me, would you please?
I can't.
Oh, you can't do that?
No, I can't.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. Well, I've got you up here. Okay? I want you to come up here. Let's see, I've got it written down here someplace. Page 113. This doesn't conjugate everything. I had the help of this is the analytical Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's the word, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What did I write down here?
Third person masculine singular kelp.
Perfect. All right. Now, the second verb, now that's the first one, that's created. Did God finish creating the earth?
Mm-hmm.
It was done. It wasn't in a process now. It had been completed. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, I want you to look at the second verb in the Hebrew Bible, which is on page 184 in this book. And what is that one?
Okay.
I had to write it in because they didn't put it in.
So it's third person singular feminine?
Third person singular feminine. Cal perfect.
Cal perfect.
So the first two verbs in the Hebrew Bible are in what tense?
Already done.
Already finished. Now that's very important when you are looking at creation. The first two verbs in the Hebrew Bible are in the perfect tense. The earth, she was created. And the earth, she became formless and void. Perfect tense. Both of them are completed. Completed action. Okay? Now, let me... there are seven root verb stems in Hebrew, okay? There are seven verb stems in Hebrew. And they are the cow stem, the Nephal stem, N-I-P-H-A-L stem, the P-L stem, P-I-E-L stem, the Pu-L stem, P-U-A-L, the Hith-Pa-L, H-I-T-H, P-A-E-L, the Hith-Il, H-I-P-H-I-L, and then the Hoph-Il, H-O-P-H-A-L stem. Now we're going to look at it from the word to kill. Okay? To kill. Katal. Alright? Katal. And in the cow stem, it is he killed. Now this is very important. He killed. Cow stem is he killed. Alright? The Nephil stem, he was killed. Passive voice. All right. The PL stem, he killed brutally and violently. Okay? Do you see the difference in this? The PL stem, remember I keep telling you, it's intense. The Pu'al stem, he was killed brutally. The Hith-Pa'al stem, that's an intensive reflexing. He killed himself. The Hith-Pa'al, that's causative active. He calls to kill. And then Hophel, the causative passive, he was caused to kill. That's the way you look at those roots. Now, you got all that down? Was that too much?
No, this is good for me.
Okay, I know that you would love this rock.
Yeah.
I know that you would love this. The simple verb stem is found in the lexicon as cow stem. That's simple active. Okay? The Nephil is the passive of the cow stem. Okay? The PL is basically a very active and intensive verb. Active and intensive verb stem. The kual is always passive, and it's kind of like middle, okay? Hispael is reflexive middle voice. These are like modes and moods, see? Hithil is active, and hophel is passive. Now let's go back over that again. We're looking at the verb to kill. Kalstim, he killed. Nithel, he was killed. The PL stem, he killed violently. And the intensive passive, puel, is he was killed brutally and violently. The intensive reflexive, his PL stem, he killed himself, he turned upon himself. See, that's like direct middle. And the hithel is causative active. He calls to kill. And the hophel, causative passive, he was caused to kill. Now, that probably went over some of your heads, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But when I... Now, that's just the stems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm trying to bring all this out because we got vowel, consecutive, imperfect. Wow, consecutive, perfect. Okay? All of this. Now, this is kind of a little bit of introduction to Hebrew, advanced Hebrew grammar tonight. In S.R. Driver is always going to call it Nicol stem, not call, but Kyle stem. Okay? S.R. Driver, I even have a commentary written by S.R. Driver on the book of Genesis. It's very old. Okay? The Hebrew language is striking contrast to the other classical languages, in which the development of verb is so rich and varied and possesses only two of those modifications which are commonly called tenses. In reality, most Hebrew grammars tell you that Hebrew doesn't have any tenses. It's modes and voices. In a state of incompletion and a state of completion. Okay? There's a future perfect in Hebrew because God is all-knowing, isn't he? So he can state something that has not happened yet, but as if it had happened in the perfect tense. Okay? We have the perfect and we have an imperfect. The kind of action that we have in Hebrew is the order of time and the kind of time. The order of time and the kind of time. There's a distinction between the order of time and the kind of time. In the first place, a particular verbal form may exhibit a given action as prior or subsequent to some date otherwise fixed by the narrative or the syntax of the verse. Okay? We know that in Genesis 1 and 1, God, according to Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, he had already created a material universe in time past. And then he placed persons and individuals and personalities in that creation. And we find out from Genesis 1 and 2, from the second perfect verb in the Hebrew language in the Old Testament, we find out that the earth, she had become formless and void. And what happened to that? Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 tells you what caused that. Something caused it. Okay? And it has related to time, but that time was an eternity past. That's really put your head to spinning, okay? In the first place, a particular verb form may exhibit a given action as prior or subject to some date otherwise fixed by the narrative. This is indifference in the order of time. But secondly, an action may be contemplated according to the fancy of the speaker or according to the particular point which he desires to make prominent, either incipient or continuing or completed action. There you go. Incipient, continuing or completed action. The speaker may wish to lay stress upon the moment at which it begins and upon the period over which it extends. Well, consecutive and perfect. Cal stem, well, consecutive and perfect. A continuous action in past tense. It happened, but it took a little while for it to take place. God created the heavens and the earth. How long did it take God to create the heavens and the earth? Doesn't tell us, does it? But he might have spent 10 million years doing it. Who knows? All right. How long did it take the devil to tear it up? Maybe 1,000 years? 10,000 years maybe to tear it up? He did a pretty good job. Maybe 2 days, as we know it today. A pond appeared over which it extends. Upon the fact that it's being finished or done, there are differences in the kind of time. Differences in the kind of time. For thus, for example, and you've got to know Greek and Hebrew and German and everything else to read these books, okay? Epathe and pathe, different in order of date, not in the kind of action that specified. Each alike expresses a continuous action, but the one throws it into the past, aorist tense, okay? The other places it in the present tense. On the other hand, pathe and pathane, may pathes and may pathe differ in kind, not in date. And each to date is equally indeterminate, but the aorist indicates a momentary punctiliar action. Okay? And there's first aorist and second aorist. First aorist is really sharp punctiliar action. Second aorist is a little more durative linear of the punctiliar action. The present one, that is continuous action. Present, indicative, active, while consecutive and perfect, or in perfect tense, period, in Hebrew. Now, in Hebrew, the tenses mark only differences in kind of time. In Hebrew, the tenses only mark differences in kind of time, not differences in order of time. They do not themselves determine the date at which an action takes place, only indicate its character or kind of action. In Genesis 1 and 1, God created the heavens and the earth. God had created the heavens and the earth. What does that tell us? That something happened that is completed action. It's not in a process. If you read any Hebrew commentary from the Hebrew standpoint in the modern Hebrew, they don't get the time. They missed the boat. It's gone. I mean, they don't understand it at all. Have no idea, no inkling, because their theology will interpret what it says there. But in Hebrew it says, in one of the beginnings, or in beginnings, Barashis, created, had created Elohim. It's done. It's been taken place. Then it tells us, we ha'aretz hayata tuhu vavuhu v'hoshev el p'nei tuhum. We know that it became formless and void. All right? Remember, they only indicate its character and kind. In the three phases just mentioned, those namely mentioned incipiency, continuity, and completion, being respectively the imperfect and the participle and the perfect tense. We have participles, don't we? A participle is a fluid verb that means continuous action. Okay, it's like a gerund in English. Thus, the tenses in Hebrew, at least, as regards to what they do not express, are in the innermost nature fundamentally distinct from what is called known in other languages by the same name. Indeed, they might almost more fitly be called moods and modes, as I have said. Certainly the difference between various kinds of time is clearly marked in Greek, but then it exists side by side with a full recognition and expression of the other difference, which in our eyes is a paramount importance regards the kind of time. We are most less sensitive, and which nevertheless the Hebrew seems totally to disregard, and this just the novelty with which we are to be so awestruck with the Hebrew languages. The Hebrew language is God's language. It is a language of power. The future perfect. Look upon a future event as something that he may have preferred to speak to as in a perfect state already done. Future perfect. God can do that, can he? Because he is omniscient. And he's omnipotent also. The tenses in Isaiah 9:5 are identical with those in Genesis 21:1-3. It is only the context which tells us that in one case a series of events in the future and the one in the past is described. It shows God's foreknowledge. Did I help you a little bit tonight? Just a little bit?
Yeah.
Open a door. Okay? It opens the door just a little bit. They usually mark the tenses with vowels, which were not there in the original language. Okay? But the Hebrew were supposed to know what it said. And I very seldom ever point Hebrew when I write it on the board because it wasn't pointed. I'll only point it for you so you can say it. Because, see, the pointing or the vowels is what helps you to say it. And I remember when about 20 years ago, I went into Leanne's class one time. She wrote some stuff on the board before she ever pointed it. And I vocalized it. I said what she did. She said, "You wrote that without any pointings." I said, "I don't need it. I know what it's supposed to say." Why? Because I studied the Bible in Hebrew. That's why. Do you have any questions?
I have tons of questions, but I'm ready to just listen.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go now to the 10th chapter of the book of Exodus, Ve'el Shemot. The 10th chapter of the book of Exodus. What should we title this class tonight, Brother Rocker?
Pharaoh's still having a hard heart.
Yeah, Pharaoh's still having a hard heart now.
And God is showing his power over the gods of the crops.
That's right. All right.
Now gone into the whole darkness thing, though.
Yeah. All right. We're going to talk about the Sea of Reeds here for just a moment. Wayahasek. Hadavar. Ruach. Yam. Hazek. Miod. Viasa. Et. Ha Arbe. Why itch? Q he who? Yama. Suf. Lo. Nishar. Arbe. Ehad. Bikal. Yebel. Gabul, that is. Mithraim. Yes.
Where are you at?
I'm in 10:19.
Oh, okay.
10:19. I'm in 10:19. Now let's look and put a little bit together from what we learned tonight with Hebrew tenses, okay? Everybody's on my right side tonight, so I'm looking to the right. The room is going downhill on the right side. They're just weighted down. Wayahasek. And he changed. Look at that. He turned. Third person, masculine, singular, cal, well, consecutive, and perfect. What does this tell us, Brother Roger and Brother Abe, you Hebrew scholars? What does this tell us? Third person, masculine, singular, that's he, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then cal. Cal stem is what? Basically, the active voice. All right. And then how about well, consecutive, and perfect? What does that tell us about it? It means that it's in the active voice, but it's in continuous action.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat, it's not imperfect, but it's while consecutive imperfect.
Mm-hmm. So it keeps on changing.
It's what I call a secondary imperfect. And he changed and he continued to change to overturn, to turn Jehovah. All right, Jehovah. That's Hadavar there. That's the name or the word. The Ruach, the wind. Or the breath of God. Say Ruach.
Ruach.
See that? That comes all the way from your throat, doesn't it? I was going to bring into that, too.
I have a little something here. Real little bit before we go into that, just a little bit more. Now, Roger, you probably already know this. They might do this in modern Hebrew. I think they do. I'm sure they do. If I can find it real fast, maybe I'll forget about it. As I'm trying to find it in the... All right, this is it. This is what I want. This is very easy. But maybe some of you haven't seen it, because I don't bring this out a whole lot in the class, because we're supposed to be doing advanced reading and research in Hebrew, and we just kind of jump over a lot of this little stuff. All right? There's dentals, labials, and palatals. They teach you that, brother? No. This is biblical Hebrew. Okay. A dental. Now, I want you to pay attention how you say anything. And Dakota and Stephen, I want you to do this too. I want you to say dalet. 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 What part of your mouth did you use? No. No. Say theology. Say tap, 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 tap. What did you use? Your tongue and your teeth. That's what you call a dental. Da, say da, 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 and da, 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 dalet, dalet, dalet. All that, dalet and da. All right, that's what you call a dental. Now I want you to say bet, 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 bet. And I want you to say cough, or pay, pay, pay. All right, pay and bet. What part of your mouth did you use?
Lips,
that's what you call labials. That's labials. So we talked about dentals. We talked about labials. See if I can talk again. Now let's talk about gimel, 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 and cough, 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 cough. And gimel, gimel, cough. What part of your mouth is used? No. All right, say ik, 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 ka, 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 ka. What did you use? You use your palate and you put your tongue against your palate. All right, your tongue against your palate. So that's what you call a palatal. All right, a palatal. A palatal. That help you just a little bit? See, now we go back here. Now let's go back and look at that a little bit more. Ruach. Ruach. What's that? Ruach. What's that? That's your throat or your gutturals, okay? Yam. Yam. Ma. Ma. What did you... Ma. What's a ma? Ma. That's labials. That's your lips. All right. Yam. And then hazek. All right. And he changed Jehovah the wind from the sea. And sea means waters, by the way. It's waters. Sea is a lot of waters. Strong. Hazek. Strong. Hazek and Meod exceedingly. And he carried and kept on carrying and lifting. He kept on carrying and lifting the locust. We're talking about the locust here. Et ha arbe, the locust. And he kept on thrusting them as a unit. He kept on thrusting them as a unit, because we have third person masculine senior cal while consecutive imperfect here. The suffix is third person masculine senior. He kept on thrusting him, the whole plague or the whole locust as a unit. the whole bunch. The Sea of Reeds. The Sea of Reeds, Suf. The Sea, Yama, Reeds, Suf, 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 Suf. The Sea of Reeds. And then Lo, Lo, Lo. Not. He had lifted the locust one. He had left, that is. Not he had left the locust one in all of the boundary of Egypt. He didn't leave one laying there. There wasn't one left. He blew them all away. With wind or God's breath. Ruah, either with God's breath or wind. Okay? Exodus 10 and 20. Y-ha-zek. What is that little dot in the middle of the Zion there?
It suggests some force or a doubling.
Uh-huh. Well, what's it called? Do you know what it's called?
A doggish.
A doggish. Laney and doggish forte.
Forte.
Doggish forte and doggish Laney. Okay? Doggish forte and doggish Laney. Those are the two ones. Let me read that to you just a moment. The doggish Laney is a dot placed in the bosom of six letters. The Beth, Gamel, Daleth, Kaf, Pei, and Tau. Alright? Which makes it very strong or hard sound. Now the modern Hebrew just about completely looks over that, don't they? Mm-hmm. To a certain extent. They only look at the doggish forte. They look at the doggish and they call it a doggish, but there's a doggish Laney and a doggish forte. The doggish forte doubles the sound. The doggish Laney makes it hard. Like it'll be a gimel will be a yamo. And a gimel, real hard. Gih and gah. There's a difference between gi and ga, and there's a difference between tha and ta. There's a difference. And that doggish Laney is the difference that makes it the hard and the soft sound. And then the doggish forte doubles the sound. It'll make two. Instead of writing two T's or two G's or two whatever, you know, when you put that doggish forte in the middle of it, it doubles it. Did they teach you that at all?
I'm just starting to learn that.
Okay. All right. So right here, we have a doggish what? It doubled it. That's a doggish 40. All right. It's not a doggish Laney. A doggish Laney turns it into a hard sound. But the doggish 40 doubles the sound. So Y-ha-zek. Hi, two Z's in that word. Y-ha-zek. Ha-the-bar. Et. Lav. Pero. Wilo, Shila, et Bnei, Yisrael. And he had made strong. Third person manager singer, PL. PL stem. What does that mean? With a great violent force. He had made strong Jehovah. Third person manager singer, PL, while consecutive and perfect. He had made strong and he continued to make strong, violently strong. Jehovah, the heart of Pharaoh. Now he turns on Pharaoh with his own harsh, Pharaoh with his own stubborn will, was making his heart hard. Now God is going to petrify his heart. He's going to help him. Uh-huh. No, heart is the soul. The soul. The soul of man. In your heart, in your soul is where you think. In your soul is where you live. Say, it in Hebrew, it is what? Nefesh. And here it's called law, but it's actually the soul is actually the nefesh. The heart is sometimes takes the place of the soul. Okay? The nefesh. In Greek, it is what? What is soul in Greek? We got a word soul from it, psyche. All right, psyche. He made the heart and kept on making the heart of Pharaoh intensely, violently hard, Pharaoh, and not he had sent away. Look at that. not he has sent away. Let's look and see how these are. I wish I could get some of these young earth people in this class for just a little while. It might teach them a little something about the Bible. He has sent away. Third person, masculine singular, PL, perfect. Sign of direct object, the sons of Israel. Not he had done that. He wouldn't do it. Exodus 10:21 now. Wayomer, Hadavar, El Moshe, Neta, Yadika, El Hashemaim, Wihi, Choshek, Al Eretz, Mitzrayim, Wiyamesh, Choshek. All right, what was the sky goddess? What was the sky goddess's name? What was the sky goddess's name? You remember, Steve, what's the sky goddess's name? Was her name Nut? Like a nut? N-U-T, that was her name, Nut. He overcome the sky goddess here. All right. And he said and kept on saying, see that now? And he said and kept on saying, do you see how far off of these Hebrew interlinears are, Brother Roger?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, they don't even get to the place. They're following King James most of the time. That's what they're doing. And he said and kept on saying that Jehovah, Halavar, are the word. El, unto, preposition, page 39. Moshe, which means what? What does Moshe mean, Dakota? Moses, what does Moses mean? Tongue? Stephen, you know what Moses means? How about you, Brother Abe? What does Moses mean? To draw out, or to rescue. They have a group of people that have rescued and saved people's lives from swimming. They call them what? Well, but they call them the Moshe, don't they? The Moses. All right. Unto Moses, stretch out. Masculine singular, tall imperative. Masculine singular, tall imperative. Stretch out your hand. It doesn't mean there's no tense. There's no action in there. Do you see that, Brother Roger? There's no continuous action. Just stretch your hand out. That's all he says. Stretch out. Masculine singular, tall imperative. Stretch your hand out. Your hand. And that's yadika. And that ka on the end of that is in the genitive or the case of possession. It's in the genitive case in Greek, in the case of possession or genitive case in Hebrew. In Greek, there is nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. That's a big grammar and a big language. But right here, we've got genitive. Your hand upon or unto Hashemayim, the heavens. And he may become, third person masculine, singular, cal, choosing, that he may become. We're going to get in all these, how the verbs are confirmed, and all these other little things. Well, consecutive verbs, abusive, and cohortive, and cohortive in meaning, and jusive in meaning, and jusive, and we have infinitive, and construct, infinitive, absolutes, all of that. Now, I throw that at you a little bit every now and then, but that's, and I try to show you the kind of action. Not so much to cram this grammar down your head or your throat, but to show you the kind of action that it means. And then all of a sudden it's going to turn on, whip. Ha-ha. That's infinitive absolute. That's infinitive construct. That's while consecutive and perfect. This is perfect tense. This is imperfect tense. This is future perfect. And he may become darkness. Choshek. Choshek. Say Choshek. Choshek. Now, I didn't put an H in that with that S there, but I should have. You see that? Choshek. Because we have a shin there, don't we? All right, Choshek. We have a CH sound and we have a SH sound. Choshek. Yes.
Does shin represent something? Shin.
What do you mean, brother?
Letter shin.
What does it say in your little Yeah. It's S-H sound.
Yeah.
Sin is a S-I sound.
What does sin represent?
What does your little thing say that it represents something down there? What does it say?
The teeth or consume or to destroy.
Well, let me see that, brother. Can you bring that up here to me?
Sure. It is darkness.
Uh-huh.
It has like a destroy.
Uh-huh.
Destroy.
Okay. Oh, this is Sheen. I don't want to mean by that, brother. I don't what they mean by that, consume or destroy. That's modern Hebrew. I don't know. The old Hebrew doesn't quite have the sin and shin. All right? All right? See here, right here? The sin? That's a SH sound. And this in here, the sin, is a SI sound. Okay? That's basically what we're talking about. They use different things. Now, in the old Hebrew, what did this represent? You remember? The roots of teeth. The roots of teeth.
Yeah.
The tooth, the roots of teeth is what it represented. Now, they got down there something else, but the roots of teeth is what it really meant. That, now, that's from the old. I'm talking about 2,000 years ago. That's what the Hebrew said about shin and sin. Okay? But one of them has a sh sound, the other one has a si sound. All right, what's the other S in Hebrew? Samik. What's the other S in Hebrew? Sadhe. But you started with a sadhe. Sadhe. You started with a dental. Dental. All right? Samik. Samik. Sadhe. All of that. Let's go on a little further. Stretch out your hand unto the heavens, and the heavens he may become. Third person, Master and Senior, Cal Joseph. Darkness. Choshek. Upon the land of Egypt. And he may feel darkness. He may feel the darkness. How many of you have ever been in darkness so dark that you could feel it? It just seems like it just absolutely, you have a panic attack from claustrophobia. The darkness is so strong. People do that. Down in Carlsbad Caverns, they would go down there and they turn the lights off in the bottom of Carlsbad Caverns for a moment. They used to leave them off for a minute and people died. People would have heart attacks, they would stop breathing, all kinds of stuff. So they would do it only for a second. And it would just, people would scream. Because you could feel the darkness. It's so big, so strong. 10:22. Why yet, Moshe et Yadal, all Hashemayim, Wahi Choshek, Afilah, Bikal Eretz, Mitzrayim, Sholashet Yamin. And he stretched out and kept on stretching out Moses, sign of the direct object, his hand, unto the heavens. And he became, and the heavens he became. He's talking about the heavens as their masculine gender, okay? Third person, masculine, senior, cow, while consecutive, perfect, they became and kept on becoming darkness. Dark gloom. Dark gloom. Afilah. Dark gloom. Jude 6. Someone go to Jude 6 and read me Jude 6 for just a moment. Come right up here and read it. Jude, the 6th verse. There's only one chapter in Jude, so it's not Jude 6 chapter or whatever. It's just Jude 6. Jude 6. Brother Abe, have you got Jude 6? What kind of Bible do you have? Korean, that's good. I want you to bring that Korean Bible up here and read to me Jude 6. And then I want you to translate it into English. All right, Jude 6, because it's very big. And then, Roger, we may get you to come up here and do it too. Jude, the 6th chapter. I want to see what it says in Hebrew, or in Korean. Jude 6, verse 6. There's only one chapter. Judah. Okay? Get up here. I know you can read that really well in Korean. What is it?
Judaso. Judas.
Okay? If you come right over here, so you can talk right into this microphone.
주식 유다서 6장 또 자기 지위를 지키지 아니하고 자기 처소를 떠난 천사들을 큰 날의 심판까지 영원한 결박으로 흑암에 가두셨으며.
All right, now can you tell me what that said in Korean?
Korean.
Aha.
So people like the angels couldn't keep their
the first estate.
Yeah.
Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28.
Yeah, angels.
And Jude, and Genesis, the 6th chapter.
Yeah. They left
their abode.
The place.
They left the jailhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. Until the great judgment.
They escaped.
Yeah.
And then what did God do to them?
So God put them in the darkness.
In darkness.
Yeah.
Because they were dark. That's good. Brother Roger, now, could you come up here and read that to me in your translation, which is what? New American Standard or what?
Yes.
What is it?
New American Standard.
New American Standard, okay.
And the angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode, He has kept them in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day.
All right, this is the kind of darkness that is here, real dark darkness. God showed the demons of the gods or the demons of Egypt the previews of coming attractions. The gods of the Egyptians were demons. And every one of those gods had a demon in it. Demon activity. Every little idol in the Catholic Church has demonic power in it. It does. Every Buddha has demonic power in it. It is indwelled by demonic power. That's what draws people to them. It's that drawing power, that demonic power. Okay. And he stretched out Moses, his hand, unto the heavens, and he became darkness, gloom, dark gloom, aphila, choshek, aphila, deep darkness in all the land of Egypt. 3 days. 3 days. 3 days. God likes to use the number three, doesn't he? How many heavens are there? Three heavens. How many earths have existed and will exist? The earth that was, the earth that is, and the earth that shall become. Everything's in threes, a trinity of things. How many orders of angels are there at least? Three. How is man made up? He's made up of body, mind, and spirit, isn't he? Our body, soul, and spirit, he's triune, or a trinity. Okay? Exodus 10:23. We're going to have to quit here pretty soon. Lo. All right. Ra. Fa'u, that is. Ish. Et. Achi. Wilo. Gamu. Ish. Mitta. Chakta. Shiloshet. Yamim. Yulikal. Benay. Yisrael. Hayah. Or. Bimowashibotam. Not abrogation. They had seen, third person construct plural, Cal Perfect, not they had seen each man, his brother. They couldn't see each other. And not they had arose. See that word, third person construct plural, Cal Perfect, each man from his place. 3 days. And to all the sons of Israel, he had become light in their dwellings. Light he had become in their dwellings. Who do you think was lighting up their dwellings? Jehovah. Jehovah was lighting up their dwellings. Well, we all call this class a little Hebrew grammar. All right? And it was 19 through 23. That's where it went.
I definitely want the DVD of this class.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You want the DVD of this class, huh?
I need to watch it about 6 times to remember what you said.
All right. Well, all right. I'll do that. I hope that you enjoyed the class.
Oh, yeah.
I hope you did, and I hope it enlightened you just a little bit of the Hebrew language. Mm-hmm. Well, pray for our buddy over there. And pray for me that I can stand up. The Lord give me one more time tonight. I appreciate that. I've been through a lot of sicknesses and things in my life, but evidently it must be necessary. That's all I can say. Maybe God will be glorified in it. I pray. And all of this. But, you know, so many times I should have been dead anyway. I should have died 100 times in my life. All the things that's happened to me, all the terrible accidents, and I'm still up and walking some, crippling today. But I thank the Lord that He gave me one more chance to teach one more class. Not that I'm worthy of it, but that He is worthy of having His word go out one time, because the Lord saved me. I'm a sinner. He saved me. I didn't deserve saving. But He saved me, and He has used me to glorify His word and His name. And I thank God for that. I thank Him for that, that He has used me to do that. Brother Abe, you want to come up here and dismiss us in prayer tonight, brother? Thank you for participating so much tonight, all of you.
Sorry, I'm not a good student or a study.